Hello, and welcome back to the Surgery 101 podcast series, brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta and our partners at Covidien. In this episode, we'll be hearing from a new contributor to Surgery 101. It's Lindsay Benoit from the University of British Columbia. She'll be looking at a very important topic, which is quite uncommon, but which is an important cause of lower abdominal pain in young women. It's ectopic pregnancy. She'll be guiding you through case presentation and pathophysiology, telling you how to take a history and what to look for on signs and symptoms, looking at the typical physical examination and the diagnostic testing and treatment. So, let's get started with ectopic pregnancy here on Surgery 101.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Benoit, and I'm a fourth-year medical student visiting from the University of British Columbia's Northern Medical Program in Prince George, BC. I'm here today to talk to you about the topic of ruptured ectopic pregnancy. We will start with a case. You're working a night shift in the emergency department, and a 28-year-old female patient comes in with acute-onset severe abdominal pain and vaginal bleeding. Your preceptor asks you to go in and do the history and physical while she tends to other matters. Right away, you start to think about the differential diagnosis of an acute abdomen, and you realize that due to this woman's age and associated vaginal bleeding, you must consider gynecologic and obstetrical causes. You immediately break these down into two categories. Number one, causes related to pregnancy. This list includes labor, musculoskeletal or round ligament pain from the growing gravid uterus, ectopic or ruptured ectopic pregnancy, and incomplete spontaneous abortion. Number two are causes not related to pregnancy. These include menstrual pain or dysmenorrhea, endometriosis, ruptured ovarian cyst, ovarian torsion, ovarian neoplasm, endometritis, and pelvic inflammatory disease. An ectopic pregnancy must be included on your differential diagnosis list for any female patient in the reproductive age group presenting with acute abdominal pain, especially when there is associated vaginal bleeding. When you go in to meet the patient and look at her chart, you can see that the vital signs taken at triage reveal that she is hypotensive and tachycardic. She appears to be in an extreme amount of pain. When you ask her if there's any chance she could be pregnant, she states that her and her partner have been trying to conceive for the past few months, but she does not know if she is pregnant. When you put your stethoscope on her abdomen to listen for bowel sounds, she jumps off the bed in an extreme amount of pain. At this point, the nurse comes into the bay to tell you that her urine test for human chorionic gonadotropin, or HCG, has come back positive. You immediately recognize that this patient is showing signs of an acute abdomen, is unstable, and is pregnant. You can see that two large bore IVs have already been started and she is being bolused a liter of normal saline. You quickly call your preceptor to tell her that you're worried about this patient and think that she needs urgent surgery. Your preceptor agrees with you and calls obstetrics and gynecology for an urgent consult. As your patient is being whisked away to the OR, you start to think about what might have been going on inside her abdomen. This was most likely a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. An ectopic pregnancy occurs when the early embryo implants somewhere other than the endometrium lining of the uterine cavity. 90% of the time, this is located within the fallopian tubes, most commonly the ampulla. For the remainder of this podcast, we will refer to tubal ectopic pregnancy. Other less common locations include the ovary, interstitium, and abdomen. Another form of ectopic pregnancy is called a heterotopic pregnancy, whereby there is both an intrauterine and ectopic pregnancy. These are rare, however, due to the rise of assisted reproductive technology, the incidence of heterotopic pregnancies are also on the rise. Risk factors for ectopic pregnancy include, number one, a previous ectopic pregnancy, number two, previous tubal surgery or tubal ligation, number three, other tubal pathology, number four, an intrauterine device, number five, infertility, number six, previous cervicitis or history of pelvic inflammatory disease, and number seven, smoking. When an ectopic pregnancy is suspected, things to look for on history are the following. Number one, Rule number one when a reproductive age female is presenting acutely, is she known to be pregnant? Is there any chance she could be pregnant? Is she sexually active? Does she use contraception? Often pregnancy can be quickly checked at the bedside with a urine HCG. However, in an acute setting, it is prudent to send for a serum beta HCG in addition to the urine dip. Not only is serum HCG important in the diagnosis of pregnancy, it is also important during treatment of an ectopic pregnancy. As you will see later, serum beta HCG monitoring becomes important following treatment, and obtaining a baseline level prior to treatment is important. Number two, when taking a history when you are suspecting an ectopic pregnancy, is to ask when the last menstrual period was. Ectopic pregnancies tend to present with symptoms around the 6 to 8 week gestation mark, when the enlarging fetus is big enough to irritate the abdominal pelvic structures or rupture the fallopian tube. Number three, is there any vaginal bleeding? Number four, PQRST AAA of the pain. Describe the pain. Position, quality, radiation, severity, timing, alleviating factors, aggravating factors, and associated factors. Ectopic pain tends to be lower quadrant, acute onset, and associated with vaginal bleeding. Number five, does the patient have any risk factors for an ectopic pregnancy? The most important risk factor is a previous ectopic. The second most important risk factor is tubal pathology or surgery. Number six, rule out other causes of lower quadrant abdominal pain. For example, is there associated flank pain, urinary symptoms, GI symptoms, etc. As mentioned, signs and symptoms and presentation of an ectopic pregnancy typically occur 6 to 8 weeks after the last menstrual period, as the embryo becomes big enough to cause symptoms. In addition to abdominal pain, associated symptoms include amenorrhea and vaginal bleeding. If the ectopic has ruptured, additional more acute symptoms include signs of shock such as hypotension, lightheadedness, and tachycardia due to severe intra-abdominal bleeding, shoulder pain if the intra-abdominal blood irritates the diaphragm causing referred pain, or the urge to defecate if the intra-abdominal blood pools in the pouch of Douglas. On physical examination, vital signs will show orthostatic changes, tachycardia, hypotension, and occasionally fever if the ectopic has ruptured. The abdominal exam will show findings of an acute abdomen, extreme tenderness including rebound tenderness. The pelvic exam will reveal adnexal tenderness, cervical motion tenderness, and possibly an adnexal mass. If the patient is presenting with an acute abdomen and has a positive serum beta HCG, this is a true surgical emergency. The patient needs to be urgently rushed to the OR for treatment of the ectopic pregnancy, likely with salpingectomy or salpingotomy. Small, unruptured ectopic pregnancies, however, may reveal no physical findings at all. This brings us to how to diagnose an ectopic pregnancy. Once again, in the acute setting, if the ectopic has ruptured, we have already reviewed doing serum beta HCG to confirm a pregnancy, as well as recognizing the signs of an acute abdomen and an unstable patient. The diagnosis can be more complex, however, if the patient is not presenting acutely. Number one, you want to send for a serum beta HCG to determine if there is a pregnancy. Number two, you want to perform a transvaginal ultrasound. It is important to take these two diagnostic tests together when evaluating a patient for an ectopic pregnancy. If an intrauterine pregnancy is found on transvaginal ultrasound, an ectopic pregnancy is confidently ruled out. However, don't forget about the rare heterotopic pregnancies, especially if the patient has had assisted reproductive technology. If no intrauterine pregnancy is visualized, and the serum beta HCG is above threshold for a transvaginal ultrasound, then an ectopic is possible. If an ectopic pregnancy is visualized in the fallopian tube and the serum beta HCG is above threshold, then the diagnosis is confirmed. What is meant by a serum beta HCG above threshold? Transvaginal and abdominal ultrasounds are not a completely sensitive method of detecting a pregnancy. This is why we must take into consideration the serum beta HCG levels. If a serum beta HCG level is greater than 1500 milli-international units per milliliter and no intrauterine pregnancy is visualized, then the serum beta HCG threshold has been reached and there is likely an extrauterine pregnancy. For abdominal ultrasound, the threshold is 6,500 milli-international units per mil. The threshold for abdominal ultrasound is higher because abdominal ultrasounds are a less sensitive method for detecting an intrauterine pregnancy this early on in gestation. Coming back to interpreting these findings, if the HCG level is above threshold for the given method of ultrasound and no pregnancy is visualized and the patient is stable, then a transvaginal ultrasound and a serum beta HCG should be repeated in 2 days to see if the HCG levels are plateauing or decreasing, which is consistent with a failed pregnancy. If the HCG is rising and still no pregnancy is visualized, an ectopic is diagnosed. If, however, the serum beta HCG is below threshold and no pregnancy is visualized on ultrasound, then the serum beta HCG must be repeated in 2 to 3 days, the trend of the rise or fall. In addition to these studies, a CBC should be ordered to follow hemoglobin. This brings us to treatment of an ectopic pregnancy. One thing that's important to add when treating any ectopic pregnancy is to administer RhoGAM if the patient is Rh negative to prevent Rh disease. We have already discussed the urgency of rushing the patient to the OR for surgery if the ectopic pregnancy is suspected to be ruptured and the patient is unstable. However, if the patient is stable and not presenting acutely, there is an option for medical management. Methotrexate is a medication that can be used to treat ectopic pregnancy. Approximately 35% of ectopic pregnancies are eligible for methotrexate treatment. Methotrexate is a folic acid antagonist. If a simple ectopic is diagnosed, the patient is stable and willing to participate in appropriate follow-up and monitoring, and the serum beta HCG is below 5,000, and there is no fetal heartbeat, treatment with methotrexate is the treatment of choice. When comparing surgical and medical management of ectopic pregnancy, there are similar risks of recurrent ectopic, and post-treatment tubal patency is also similar. Often the choice is left up to the patient and the provider to make together. Your patient recovers well from surgery and goes on to have a viable, normal pregnancy. In summary, when dealing with an ectopic pregnancy, make sure the ectopic is on your differential for a reproductive age woman presenting with abdominal pain, especially when there is associated vaginal bleeding. Always check serum beta HCG and obtain an ultrasound, preferably transvaginal, as part of your workup when an ectopic pregnancy is suspected. Treatment options include methotrexate and surgical management. If the patient is unstable and a ruptured ectopic pregnancy is suspected, the patient must urgently get to the OR for surgical management.
So that's it for ectopic pregnancy in a nutshell. Thanks to Lindsay, who did a great job covering this topic. Please let us know what you think of Surgery 101. You can request an episode by emailing us at surgerypodcast@gmail.com or send us a tweet, surgery_101. Find our page on Facebook or visit the website at surgery101.org. Don't forget about Surgery 101 notes and the Surgery 101 app available for your phone. That's all for this week, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week on Surgery 101.